Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Today we're going to talk about seven ways to overcome rejection and anxiety. As I was thinking about people going... People started
approaching the fall and the holidays.
Holidays and going home for the holidays. I was reminded that sadly some people experience rejection and anxiety at the hands of family members, even though it might not be intentional. You know, wow, you sure gained weight. When'd you lose all that hair? And I could go on and on, but I think you understand what we're saying. It's not fun being rejected because a family member or someone you know thinks that you measure up to their standard of excellence. Oftentimes, these comments, attitudes, and, well, from others, create anxiety over which some people seemingly have no control. Today, we're going to talk about how to deal with rejection and anxiety, not just on holidays, but every day of life as well. And how to deal with those two unwanted guests. Rejection is a poison that can come in several different concoctions. Verbal and psychological attacks can be just as vicious as physical abuse, with emotional scars that linger a lifetime, but by the grace of God.
Yes.
Rejection also includes being made fun of, abandoned, being told abusive things. Things like, I'm sorry for the day you were born. You're no good. Nobody wants you. Get out of my house. This list could go on and on, but I think you get the point. Feeling as though you will never fit in is another sign of being rejected. You also can be rejected for things you believe, your religious or political beliefs. I should point out that many people actually experience the fear of rejection as opposed to rejection itself. That is a strategy of the devil. If you feel rejected, but you can't put your finger on it, it's most likely the enemy whispering lies into your ears.
That's true.
Here's one thing you need to know. Get this in you. God will never reject you. And truthfully, that's all that matters. Rejection often leads to anxiety. I feel prompted not to list or expound on the things that can cause anxiety in your life, but rather to offer a scriptural direction on how to deal with it effectively. 1 Peter 5:7, Classic Amplified. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully.
Wow. You know, God, God made you in His image, and He wants you to thrive. And you might go, well, where is God? What's going on when I have all these anxieties, worries, and concerns? Maybe even about what you're going to do or your finances for the future. The point is, like he was saying, we need to turn these things over to the Lord. The devil doesn't like to give up. But God wants you, yes, to have, well, the antidote to all of these pressures. In Philippians 4:6-7, it tells us, do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, if we break that down, people will say, well, you know, it's easy to say, hey, don't have any fret or anxiety. But It is not really, it's time to catch it when the enemy is trying to attack you with it. That's the time, best time to get it. And the point of it is if a relative or somebody's been like a coworker is get, let me tell you two very, very important things. One, it's more their problem than yours. I can promise you. Parents who say negative things to their kids means they don't have it together.
That's
not
right.
The kid.
That's
right. I can promise you that. And the second thing is if they have stolen from you, don't let them steal another thing. Don't give the devil or them who's being used by the devil the satisfaction of making you think that you are not born in God's image and not a part of, because you wouldn't be listening to our voice if you didn't know who God is. Psalm 94:18 in the Classic Amplified says, in the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, your comforts cheer and delight my soul. So here are seven ways to overcome rejection and anxiety in your life.
Number one, talk to yourself. Despite the popular opinion, there's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. There's nothing wrong with answering yourself. But if you say, huh, then you're in trouble. You not only need to be talking to yourself, but you need to be saying the right things which are in the Word of God. Quoting the Word releases a peace in our lives that passes all understanding.
The Word is where it's at. Number two, who else should you allow to speak into your life? You know, you may also, well, change who you are by allowing who speaks into your life. You wouldn't allow a neighbor, we just talked about this the other day, to come in your living room and dump the contents of their garbage in the middle of your floor. Yet there are a lot of believers who allow friends or neighbors or family to dump negative and harmful conversations into their mental living room. Our friend, Dr. Mike Murdoch, he always said, I thought that was amazing. It was very wise. He's from the Wisdom Center. He said, you know, I can tell your future once I determine who you're listening to.
That
is so true and so good. So what do we need to be quoting? What do we need to be listening to? Nothing but the pure and the positive from the Word.
Word of God. Number three, participate in activities that you enjoy. Every sporting event, every television show has a break in the action. You need to plan and participate in things that relax you physically and mentally. Everyone needs to decompress from the pressures of life. Don't even start thinking that you don't have the money to do anything like that. Start your relaxation and recreational time right where you are. It may be as simple as sitting on the porch during summertime and watching the sunset.
Or as the fall sets in and the leaves begin to change.
Or maybe in the winter building a snowman.
There you go.
You can also take a walk in the park, swimming at a public pool, going for a walk on your street. I don't need to make a list for you. You need to get a sheet of paper and create your own list of activities that you'd enjoy doing without messing up your budget.
That's right. Number four, do not allow anybody, including and especially the enemy, to direct your focus at will. The key to a close, it really is close to number two, but there's a difference. You need to find a quiet time and space where you can spend quality time with the Lord, not where people are going to come in and interrupt you. Maybe on the back porch or maybe driving your car. Give your highest priority to reading the Word, too. Don't let the television set or your desire to surf the net interfere with your devotional time. I can tell you that the enemy will try to break your focus from the Lord. It might be a baby crying or a child needing a pair of jeans mended or whatever. The point is, God knows that your baby cries and, you know, and there are other needs that arise. Just continue to focus on Him in what you're doing. There's nothing more valuable in overcoming rejection and anxiety than guarding your time with God. So guard it diligently.
Amen. Number five, create confessions that energize your faith. First, your confession should be based on speaking right words. What are right words? The answer is simple. The words you find in the scriptures. Ephesians 4:29, Classic Amplified Bible says, "Let no foul or polluting language, no evil word, no unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as it is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it." Hallelujah. Second, you can change where you are in life by what comes out of your mouth.
Think of that.
Create your confession based on what you want to see manifested, as long as it's based on the Word of God. Third, make your confession for at least 21 days. Studies show that an action taken daily for 21 days will very likely become a habit. The habits we form become the lifestyles we create and live by. Fourth, your circumstances should never alter your confession. Fifth, speak your confession every day. Your confession will directly impact your expectation and determine your manifestation.
Number six, consume the right kind of mental food. You know, if you want to mentally and spiritually overcome rejection, anxiety, then we need to be feeding our minds and spirits with the right thing. There's an old saying that we've often said, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. The right stuff is to turn off stuff that's not going to help you when you're in this kind of situation. You don't need to be distracted by sports or political talk radio or music stations. You need to listen to CDs or teaching CDs or something that's going to put your mind in the right frame of mind.
Yes.
You could take the pastor's sermon from the previous Sunday, or there's so many things available. Even we have CDs and stuff from the debt-free army. You can educate and empower yourself while you drive, even have something at home. You know, if you commute more than 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, whether it's to work or run errands, that's 150 minutes a week. That's 7,800 minutes a year, or 130 hours in your daily drive, which equals over 16 work days a year. Can you believe that? That allows you to really understand how much you can manifest the law of displacement in your life. You need to be removing the garbage and that others have put in and tried to take you down with, and then reinforce and put the powerful and the positive from the Word.
Amen.
You know, that old Albert Einstein quote that we often quoted says, if you feed your mind as often as you feed your stomach, then you won't have to worry about feeding your stomach or a roof over your head or clothes on your back.
That's so true. Number seven, never condemn or reject anyone else. Luke 6:37, New Living Translation. Don't judge others and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn others, or will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you'll be forgiven. Romans 2:1, Classic Amplified. Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification. O man, whoever you are, who judges and condemns another, for imposing as a judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censor and denounce. If God doesn't condemn you, don't you condemn yourself. Never condemn others, or the prospect for your future will be bleak at best. Think on these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're blessed by the teaching or the ministry, go to haroldhearing.com. Click the button that says Soul Seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.